Well, you may be seated. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, page 1109. Some of you will have that page, I guarantee you that. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Amen. You know, when I first heard about revival, this was back in the early 90s, I couldn't understand. I mean, why would people go to church and get happy? I mean, I've grown up in church all my life, so why would people go to church and get full of joy? Then I heard that people were getting drunk in the spirit, and, you know, falling down on the floor was not something that was new to me because we grew up in Pentecost. We saw many people on the carpet many a time. Amen. But not many people ever spent time on the carpet. They would just fall under the power of God, get up, go sit back down again. But when I spoke to my brother, and he was in upstate New York, and he said we'd started to do some morning meetings, and I just started to preach on the anointing, and then all of a sudden people started falling on the floor and getting full of joy and getting drunk in the spirit, it kind of amazed me. I was like, what? This is church? Now, let me say this. We'd seen joy break out in one meeting back in South Africa years before that, and it was just like a one meeting, and the Lord actually... I was playing in the band in the church, my brother's church at the time, and the Lord actually said to me that he encouraged me to encourage the people about joy and about laughter. And, you know, I mean, I'd never seen this before in my life, so I got up there and started encouraging the people about joy and laughter. And I said, even if it sounds like this, ha, 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 and listen, joy hit the place. That Sunday morning, joy hit the place, and everybody got full of joy, but it was just like a one-off thing. And sometimes we think God's just about a one-off thing, but actual fact, it's not. You know, the Bible says laughter is like a medicine, and the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I need strength on a Sunday morning as I do on a Sunday night, as I do on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, I need strength every day in my life. So if joy is my strength, then I need joy every day. I need joy every moment of the day. Hello. Sometimes we get this idea that whatever God does in the church, it's for the church. No, it's for our life, so that when we step out of these doors, out of these exit doors and go home and go into our workplace, we carry what God has done in our heart and life, because that's where the rubber meets the road. Oh, you listen to me. It's easy to come to church and get joy, get happy. You know, some people come put on a face and look good and look well, and But back at the home, at the ranch, if you want to call it that, what's going on? What's actually happening at the house? What's actually happening in work? Hello? Some people slip into a depression on a Sunday night because Monday morning they've got to go to work. Hello? Some preachers slip into a depression on a Saturday afternoon because they've got to go preach on a Sunday morning. I know ministers that used to do that before revival came. They get highly depressed on a Sunday afternoon because they knew they had to go preach on Sunday morning. And then revival got them and changed their heart, and then they couldn't stay out of church. Uh-oh. I mean, you got a real big problem when preachers get backslidden and they're still in the pulpit. Hello? So I can tell you right now, when I heard about what was going on, it amazed me, blew me away. And, you know, I was really concerned a little bit for my brother, you know, thinking, my God, did he get it mixed up in some kind of an occult or something? I mean, it was a happy one, but you know, what's all the stuff with the joy, you know? And then when he came out to South Africa to the church we were a part of back in South Africa, this is now before we even moved to America, and he got up to minister. Listen, it didn't take me but 10 seconds to look around and see joy breaking out in people, and it didn't take me very much longer to know it's God. Amen. Hello. Amen. I mean, I have been asked after meetings, sometimes people approach me and go, "Brother, now, do you think maybe this joy that we see in the meeting, do you think it could be of the devil?" And I'm like, Let me think about that for a moment. The devil's come to steal, to kill, and destroy, and bring joy. No, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Where do you see joy in that? Why would he come give us joy in church? Listen, the devil's not even in the house. He's not even in yet. Hello, unless you snuck him under the pew with you, I don't know, but he's not even in the house. And if he is in anybody, then listen, we'll find out before the meeting's over. Because there will be some manifestations. Hello. So it's got nothing to do with the devil whatsoever. I mean, some people come in and they have a fear. They have a fear about the power of God and what God's going to do. Listen, God never hurt you. He set you free, but never hurt you. Everything he does is good. Hello? I said everything God does is good. And apart from anything else, we welcome the Holy Spirit here. Holy Spirit, come. Do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. However you want to do it. Oh, no, not joy. God, you can come and move here tonight in any which way you want to. Just hold the joy. We don't mind if people get it on the way out, but not while I'm preaching, praise God. How can I dictate to the Holy Spirit how he should move and what manifestations we should see? Hello. Who am I to stand here and dictate to the Holy Spirit when he can move? Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come do whatever. Oh, can I come now? Could you wait until, you know? Hello. I mean, I had a Baptist preacher who, you know, was confused by the message, not by the message, but by the meeting and how the structure was. And when I asked him, you know, do you ever let the Holy Spirit move? He goes, yeah, we do. Baptist church, let the Holy Spirit move. Really? I said, when? He said, the last 5 minutes on the program. He said, it's called altar time. And he said, at the end of that, I invite people down to the altar so the Holy Ghost can move. I said, how long have you been doing it? 27 years. I said, in the last 27 years, has the Holy Spirit ever showed up in the last 5 minutes? He goes, no. I said, well, don't you think it's time to shoot the program in the head? Obviously, that program ain't working. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's not happy with the last 5 minutes. Hello. As men, we should know. Give your wife 5 minutes to go shopping and see what happens to you. Hello. No, when we go shopping in the mall or go shopping somewhere, this is how it is. The men are like this. And the women are like, why do you think they put those comfortable chairs in the middle of the mall? Why do you think they put them there? So a woman can sit down there? Absolutely not. It's filled with men sitting there just waiting. Hello. And you know how unpredictable that can be. Men? Can I have an amen from some man here in the house? Oh, he's amening now because his wife's not sitting next door to him. But if his wife was here, he wouldn't be amening at all. I mean, there's certain things you just can't dictate in life. And that's one of them. Hello. Another one is never tell your wife to calm down. Never do that. Amen. Anyway, moving right along now. Calm down, honey. What? No. I meant me calm down. Me calm down. I need to calm down. How did I get onto that? Where were we going with that? Oh, Holy Spirit. Okay. So... Oh, hallelujah. Let me move on. So, Holy Spirit. So we can't dictate to Him. We can't give Him a time frame. We can't say, you can come and move on such a day or such a time and then not show up another time. Hello? I mean, I think every time the door opens, the Holy Spirit should be welcome to come. When the band practice on a Thursday night, the Holy Spirit should be welcome to show up. Hello? It's far better practicing with the anointing of God falling upon everybody than what it is just trying to beat out some songs. Hello? When you get on the streets and you go and witness, that's the time the Holy Spirit needs to be manifesting. Come on, make the job a whole lot easier. Amen. Instead of you having to try to, you know, pull somebody into heaven, the Holy Spirit will just draw them in. Come on now. It's all about the anointing. We need to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The church has to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And when I first saw this, I thought, this is amazing. This is good for everybody. I'm sitting in the church pointing fingers at everybody. Oh, I know those people. My God, they really need it. Oh, that family. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. They're in such a mess. Our brother, depression is getting joy. Praise Jesus. I'm pointing at everybody else and I'm actually the one that probably needs it the most. Well, I've grown up Pentecost. Hello. I've grown up being a Pentecostal. I probably needed it the most. Pointing fingers at everybody else. But let me tell you what, over that week, I started to get a hunger on the inside of me. I started to get, something started to churn on the inside of me for more of God. And I started to cry out to God, God, I really need a touch. I need to have an encounter. I need a life-changing touch of heaven. Now, so we went from that church. My brother went to another church, and so we followed him over that church. And he did Sunday morning and then Sunday night. And I was standing in that Sunday night meeting just, you know, minding my own business. And I started to feel that hunger come on the inside of me. And so I started to pray. I said, God, I know you can hear me right now. I said, I know you're listening to me right now. And my brother was on the platform. And I prayed. Because I wanted to make this prayer as hard as possible. And what I mean by that is when God answered it, you know God answered it. I mean, I could have gone to my brother before the meeting and said, hey, I want you to pray for me that the same anointing on you comes on me. Will you pray for me tonight? And that would be the easy way. I'm standing on the front row shouting at God, saying, God, tonight's my night. I'm not going to leave the same way I came. And I said, I want you to talk to my brother on the platform and tell him to call me out and pray for me that the same anointing on him comes on me. And that's what I prayed over and over. I shouted at God for 20 minutes, shouting at him. I think he heard me the first time, but I didn't want to take a chance, just in case he didn't. Oh, you listen to me, because that night was my night. I was not going to leave the same way I came. I was desperate and determined. I'm going to get a touch of heaven. See, some people have this idea, God, tonight's my night, but if you don't touch me tonight, I'll be back Wednesday, or I'll be back Sunday, or I'll be back another week. No, either tonight's your night or it ain't. Hello, wouldn't you love to have a life-changing an encounter with God Almighty tonight, that your life is changed, that tomorrow you get up, you're totally different on the inside, you're carrying a fresh fire, a fresh anointing on the inside of you? Wouldn't you love to have that encounter with God? People say, well, I've had an encounter. Yeah, but from glory to glory, deeper depths and higher heights He's going to take you. And that was my cry. God, I've got to have a touch of heaven. You've got to touch me. You've got to change me. And you've got to fill me. I mean, I was determined. I'm standing on the front row. I'm shouting at God, shouting at Him. 20, 25 minutes later, my brother gets up, takes the microphone, gets everybody to sit down in the meeting. We all sit down. Guess what I'm doing? I'm on the inside shouting at God. Tonight's my night. God, tonight is my night. I'm not going to leave the same way I came. You're going to tell my brother to call me out. Pray for me. The same anointing on him comes on me. Tonight is my night. And he stepped up to the microphone, got everybody to sit down, looked right over at me, said, Basil, come here. And in my mind, the first thing my mind was going is, what does he want? What does he want? I've been shouting for 25 minutes. Now he calls me. I'm going, what does he want? And so I come, they had this pulpit that was built around like a big box. You stood up in a box, but it had this opening. And he came, so he come stand right over me. I came, stood in front of him. And he said, this is what he said to me. He said, God told me to call you out and pray for you that the same anointing on me comes on you. And I looked at him and went, he did? Yeah, that's what I've been shouting all night for the last 25 minutes. Let me tell you, he laid his hands on me, power God, knocked me on the floor. I mean, just boom, on the floor. Now, I know what to do. I'm a good Pentecostal. You get on the floor, you be there for 3-4 minutes, you get up, you go sit back down. Well, I tried to, for like 15 minutes, try to get off the floor. Couldn't get off the floor. I stuck on the floor, stuck on the carpet. Now, don't sit out there in the pew and go, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. I never heard of that before. I sat out there in the pew one day, heard a guy get up to testify and say, God stuck me on the floor. And I went, give me a Pentecostal break. Why would God stick you on the floor? That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. I never came across on the last banana boat. I know that that's not so. That's rubbish. Until he did it to me. All I could do was flap my hands and nod my head. That's all that was free. Ever sung that song, All to Jesus I Surrender? When you're stuck on the floor, it will be All to Jesus I Surrender. God, have your way. I'm stuck here. I'm not going anywhere. Do whatever you want to do. Let me tell you what, God got my attention that night. I was on the floor for 2 hours and 45 minutes. Listen, I missed the whole meeting. I missed the whole meeting, but I had one of my own. Hello. I missed the whole meeting. Didn't know what he preached on. Had no clue. But I had an encounter with God that night. God started to do a transformation on the inside of me. Now, let me tell you what. It took a lot longer than just that 2 hours and 45 minutes for God to do a change on the inside of my heart. Hello. I grew up in church. Took a lot longer than 2 hours and 45 minutes, but God began to do a work. See, and I try to tell people this, when God does a work, he does a work one night, and then the next night he'll build on it, and then the next meeting he'll build on it, and the next meeting he'll build on it. He's got to start with that foundation. And really, to be honest with you, that your first few encounters with God, it's a cleaning out session. Hello. It's a purification that's going on. He's trying to purify the vessel. When he tries to purify the vessel, then he's causing that vessel to become more of a perfect vessel. So it can be a vessel of honor. It can be a vessel that can be fit for the master's use. Hello. The old wineskin is taken out and a new wineskin is put in. So you can carry and contain what God is pouring out of his spirit. Hello. Ever wonder why you see people come in revival, they get so touched by the power of God, and they run out there with anointing, and then 3 weeks later or a month and a half later, you look at them and they're all drying up and dead and like they were before revival came. Anybody ever see anybody like that? Let me tell you why it goes like that. Because they never allowed God to purify the vessel, and they never allowed God to give them a new wineskin so they could contain and carry what God was pouring out. Because you put new wine in an old wineskin, let me tell you what happens. That old wineskin is going to burst. And whatever was put into that old wineskin is going to run out. And whoever was carrying that is going to run dry. Are you listening to me? There's a price we pay to get where we go. Are you listening to me? I said there's a price you pay to get where you go for God. But every time you pay a price, it is well worth it. It is well worth to pay the price and allow God to do whatever he wants to in your heart and life, because the plan that God has is to raise up an army of believers in these last days that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that can carry the fire of God, that can carry the new wine of the Holy Ghost, that can carry the joy of the Lord, and everywhere they go, signs, wonders, and miracles happen. That's the plan for the army of God that God's raising up in these last days. And all it takes from us is a surrender. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. I surrender. When somebody walks into a convenience store, walks into a bank with a gun, what is the first thing that others do? Why do they raise their hand? Are they praising them? What does that mean? I surrender. When you're standing in the pew worshiping God and you lift your hands to heaven, what are you doing? I surrender, Lord. I'm surrendering to you. I'm worshiping you. I surrender my life to you. I give up. Hello? I give up. God shows up in the house. Hands go up. I give up, Lord. I surrender. You do whatever you want to with me. We are not going to be used of God in these last days without full surrender. We are not going to be used of God in these last days if we don't allow the Spirit of God to come and change us on the inside. That transformation that has to take place, that old wineskin that has to go, and a new wineskin has to come. I remember before revival, let me tell you what, before God transformed my life, I had a very bad temper. You can ask my wife. She'll attest to that. I had a very bad temper. I'm born again. Go to heaven. Pentecostal. Bad temper. Man, I would snap like that. Just a mean, bad temper. But let me tell you what, when the Spirit of God came and touched me and changed me, it's all gone. Hallelujah. It's all gone. We could drive down the road, and if you cut me off in a car, I'm telling you right now, you better know Jesus because you're about to meet him. Hello. Now, it doesn't mean to say I don't get mad, but I don't sin because I'm mad, not like I did before with a temper, like instant rage. Oh, you listen to me. Why? Because God came along and changed me on the inside. So there's some things I set in place. You know, we've had people say things about us for years. They talk about us all the time. They ridicule us, run us down. We've been criticized by experts and also little squirts. Amen. So it doesn't really matter. Hello. And I don't mind. You know, you can say whatever you want to about me, but I do draw the line when it comes to my wife and my children because I'm there to protect them and to make sure that they're safe, you know. So, you know, you can say what you want about me, it's okay. But if you say something about my wife or my children, I break your face. I do it in love. Amen. But let me tell you what, before God changed my life, there was not even an option. Are you listening to me? I'm sure Brother Charlie has, you know, I talk about a temper. I'm sure he has got some greater things to talk about. I'm sure his testimony is a whole lot more powerful than mine. And there's a lot of people that say, oh, you only had a temper. My God, I had this and that. And the next thing, I used to do this. Listen, I, you know, what should have I done? Gone out and created a testimony for myself? No, my testimony is that God saved me when I was a little kid. And he's kept me all these years. That's my testimony. And sure, there was some, you know, some humps along the road and some bumps and some things going on. But let me tell you what, God set me free from all that stuff. And now the only thing I want to do is serve God. That's all I want to do. I want to see revival shake the nation. Hello. I want to see God shake the nation with his power. I'm more hungrier now than I've ever been before. Are you listening to me? All right. So there's two things I want to do. Sorry. Holy Spirit just said, well, isn't there something else you want to do? Yes, there is. So one thing I want to see is revival shake the nation. And the other thing is I want to go ride a horse. Pretty simple. Amen. I think I would have been a great, you know, one of those circuit riders that would travel around the country on a horseback. I think I would have made a great circuit rider. I mean, I might have been walking like this. Praise Jesus. Anybody love Jesus yet or not? Praise Jesus. Glory to God. But listen, it came from a hunger. It came from a desperation. I started crying out to God. And even when I had that encounter with God, it was not enough. And even though God's transformed my life, it's still not enough. I still have to have more of him. I still need to be in His presence. Let me tell you something. Revival has changed the whole of the inside of me. And I have a relationship with God, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. I have a relationship. I talk to them every day. I talk to the Holy Spirit around people. They don't even know I'm speaking to Him. I talk to God around people. They don't even know what I'm doing. I'll be sitting with a group of people, and they'll all be talking, and I'll be having a chat with God. Are you listening to me? Now, I even talked to Him on the pot. Hello. Come on now. Nothing wrong with that. If you spend some time there, you know what I'm talking about. Hello. Don't get all religious on me now. I've had some great insight on the pot. I'm telling you right now. God's shared some things with me. Hello. It's okay. God don't care where you are. Amen. I'm not sitting behind a bar having a beer trying to connect with God. Hello. The pot is something everybody does. I'm not talking about pot like you smoke. You know what I mean? Oh, Jesus, help me. The preacher does pot and then he gives from God. No. If I did pot, I wouldn't be hearing from Him. Sorry, Pastor Bob. I'll clean up my message. I'll clean it up. Oh, yeah, flush. Okay. All right. I think the message has been cleaned. Oh, hallelujah. But listen, that's what revival does. You can't be revived of God and then still be the same. You're not going to have a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and then try to outdo somebody else and steal from somebody else and run around committing adultery. It's just not going to be there. Are you listening to me? It's not going to be a part of your makeup. Once you have an encounter with God Almighty, it's all about Him. It's about pleasing God. It's about doing whatever you can do for the kingdom of heaven. That's why we are still doing what we're doing after all these years, because of the encounter we had with God. And I can go back and study, and I've done this before. I've studied revival from the 90s, and I've noticed that everybody that got touched in the 90s by the fire of God, I'm not talking about joy. I'm talking about the fire of God. Something about the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Something about that fire. When you get hit by the fire of God, let me tell you what, there is no way you can go back to business as usual, because that's all gone. And I find more people today that are flowing with the Holy Ghost were touched by the fire back in the 90s. Hello? That's why I love the fire of God, because there's a purification that goes on. Hello? There's a change on the inside that goes on. When we came out to America, you know, we had already been out of revival for 6 months back in South Africa. But that impact that God had given me back in South Africa really did start an effect on me. That 2 hours and 45 minutes on the floor, it really did start an effect, and God started to work on me. And we were more focused on God than ever before. But when God brought us out to America, you know, it was like we were starting all over again. And once again, I got in the meetings, and once again, I just started crying out to God. I said, God, I need an encounter with You. You've got to change my life and set me free. Something has got to happen on the inside of me. We had committed for 1 year with my brother, 93, to travel on the road with him. And then 94, we were on the road. We were going to go and do whatever God called us to do. But now, looking back, I never really had anything to give anyway. Oh, you listen to me. I needed something in my hands to give. And so I had to have an encounter with God. Well, January the 1st of 93, we went to a little place called Ketchikan, Alaska. Anybody ever been up there? You land on one island, you get a ferry, and you go across to the other island, and that's where the hotels are and everything. Well, we go have revival up there with a friend who actually become a friend of mine now. But we go up and have revival, in his church with my brother. And, you know, just 2 weeks of meetings, second week of those meetings, you know, everything's just flowing like it had flowed before. Power of God's all over the house. People are getting touched and blessed. And I just started crying out to God. I said, God, I've got to have a transformation. Something's got to happen on the inside of me. I've got to have an encounter with you. And let me tell you what, the second week of January of 93, Tuesday night, I had an encounter with God. And I can tell you right now, everything that God's doing through us today came out of that night. That night was like the foundation of whatever else God's done for the last 24 years. Just one night, one encounter with God, and he built on that for months and months to go, and he has every year. Every year he's done something on the inside of me, and let me tell you, we're still drawing out of what God did that night in Ketchikan, Alaska. We're still drawing out of that night. Because that was the night that a transformation came upon me, and I've never been the same again. But that night, you know, I never asked God to see anything. I just say, God, come and touch me. I want what you've got for me. I don't want what anybody else has got. But that night, God showed me an angel in the front of the building. And my brother had prayed for me. Power of God knocked me on the floor. And the Lord showed me an angel in the front of the building. And that angel weaved his way between the people, came and stood directly above me, and began to pour in. And I can only describe it like this. It looked like oil that you pour into your automobile, but it was as thick as honey. I call it a rich, golden, honey-like substance. That angel began to pour in me. And the more he poured it into me, the drunker I got. And I believe it was fresh oil from heaven. I believe God was taking out all that stale oil that I'd been carrying around for years. And he was filling me up with fresh oil from heaven. Now let me go back to the angel that I saw. I didn't ask God to see an angel. And I don't want to be offensive to my angels, because I have a whole lot of angels around me. They're always with me. In actual fact, they're here right now with me. Hello. So I don't want to be offensive to them. But let me tell you what, I'd rather see Jesus than an angel. And I will never rely on an angel to tell me what's going on in a meeting. I just want to throw that out at you, because there are ministers that run around doing that, talk to angels. Angels tell them what to do, what's going on. Bogus. Holy Spirit led. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, not by angels. Oh, you listen to me. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. Amen. We're not going to receive an offering for that statement. Amen. So I just thought I'd throw that out at you. But so I saw this angel. The angel's pouring this oil into me. And let me tell you what, I had such an encounter with God. And this is about 9:15 in the evening. And the Lord started talking to me and sharing some things with me about what was going to happen in our ministry and in our lives. And everything he told me that night came to pass. I mean, everything. Obviously, when you're under the Spirit of God and having an encounter with God, you know, everything he tells you is actually going to come to pass. And he told me this. He said, I'm pouring an anointing within you, and I'm putting a fire within you. And he said, everywhere you go, you'll find hungry and thirsty people. He said, that same fire that I'm putting within you tonight, he said, when you lay your hands on those people, that same fire will fall upon them. You see, what I believe this is, I believe that this was the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. You say, well, that's just very brazen of you. Same Holy Spirit. I said, same Holy Spirit. So do you think the Holy Spirit of today is the same Holy Spirit of the day of Pentecost? Do you think the same fire that he carried on that day is the same fire that he carries today? Is the same anointing? Is it the same? Absolutely, it's the same. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. It's not a watered-down version. The anointing is not watered down. Hello? I had somebody on Facebook, not on Facebook, but on the internet. They got up and did this whole thing on the Howard Browns, and then they picked on my brother, and then they picked on me and said, oh, he gets up and testifies, said that the fire of God fell on him, and you know, does he think he had a greater experience than Peter did on the day of Pentecost? And I'm like, well, I wasn't there on the day of Pentecost. I'm sure he had a great experience, but I know I had one too. Hello. I said, I had one too. I wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, but I was there when it happened to me. And I know what God did in my life. Hello. These signs shall follow them that believe. We have signs following us everywhere we go. Why? Because we believe. Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works. Oh, really? Greater works than Jesus did? Who do you think you are? I'm a child of the King. Full of the Holy Ghost. Carrying the same anointing that Jesus did. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that anoints us. The only difference is he believed. Hello? Why we have a watered-down version of the gospel and a watered-down version of the anointing is because people don't believe like Jesus believed. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church tonight. But it's good. God does whatever he does. Amen. However he does it. So there was a transformation that took place on the inside of me. Dropped a fire within me. Let me tell you what, I've never been the same. In actual fact, through the year of 93, I spent many, many, many hours on the carpet. Many hours on the carpet. I spent hours on the carpet right here in Calvary Cathedral. It was the old building, but I spent hours on the carpet there too. Are you listening to me? I traveled the nation to some of the largest churches in America with my brother in 93, and I spent many hours on the floor, different locations, as God was doing a transformation on the inside of me. I mean, there were nights of fire. God would hit me another time. I'd run around the building. Anybody ever been to the old Carpenter's Home Church building? I mean, listen, that fire God hits you. I mean, it's a 10,000-seater building. You know, you run. It's like a 3-mile run. You know, you're coming across the front. God, I can't do another round. Hello? Ah, fire God hit me one night there. I run around the building, come around. As I'm going back down the aisle, my brother was watching. He said, it's like you ran into a wall. There was nothing in front of me. I hit the wall. Boom. Fell on my back. I'm lying there. Three other people were following me. All three of them ran into the same wall. But there's nothing there. There's nothing there. He said, you hit something and you bounce right back and fell on the floor. Hello. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe they said, man, you run so ugly, you mean to stop now. So stop. I don't know what was going on, but I know I had an encounter with God one more time. Are you listening to me? Just because we have an encounter with God one time doesn't mean to say we've arrived and we've got everything. Because I tell you right now, God's still working on me, and I'm still having encounters with him, and I'm still learning from him on a daily basis. There's been times where God said, I'm going to take you to school, son. See, he also called me son. He said, I'm going to take you to school. I'm going to teach you some things. And I'm like, I'm all ears, you know. I'm like, yeah, I want to learn as much as I can, Lord. Yeah, we've been in the ministry for years and years. And then suddenly he said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to teach you some things. And then the next year and a half, 2 years, he takes you down this road and he teaches you these things. And then you go, wow. And revelation comes and there's a transformation that happens. And what God's doing is he's building something more on the inside of you for something that he has down the road that he's prepared and planned for you. Hello. We've got to see America shaken by the power of Almighty God. And let me tell you what, the only way that's going to come is by the church getting hungry and desperate and determined for God to come and move. That's how it's going to come. That's how we're going to see America shaken by the power of God. And when I say the church, I'm talking about us. We have to cry out to God like never before. God, I need a transformation. I need you to change me on the inside. I cannot be the same. Look, it hasn't worked in the years gone by, you know, before revival came and transformed our life. It wasn't working, us being the same. So we have to have that encounter with God. God has to show up in a powerful way and bring a transformation on the inside of us. God, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. The problem with a lot of people is change. We don't like change. Hello? So we don't like change. We like to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Let me tell you what, that doesn't happen. That doesn't work with God. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Anybody ever remember that song? We'll just let go. All right, God, have your wonderful way. Do whatever you do, Lord. However you do it. Whenever you want to do it. If you've got to stick me on the floor for 2 hours and 45 minutes, or you've got to knock me on the floor for a day, whatever it takes, Lord. People say, I don't have the time to be there for a day. Yes, you do. I said, yes, you do. That night the Lord stuck me on the floor, well, knocked me out in Ketchikan, Alaska. I was on there till like 1:30 the next morning. Everybody gone home. Meeting was over. It was finished. Everybody gone home. I'm on the floor. And let me tell you what, that night God hit me with joy. I mean, it's like He did everything to me that night. I mean, just dropped the fire, put fresh oil on the inside of me, changed me on the inside, filled me with joy. I mean, I laughed so hard that night, I thought somebody else was laughing. I looked around to see who's laughing like that. Now, remember, I'm stone drunk in the Holy Ghost, but I'm looking around to see who's laughing. Oh, is that me? And then I laughed so hard, I thought I was going to pop my eyeballs out of my head. I kept pushing them back in. I'm like, got to keep my eyeballs, you know what I mean? Got to push them back in. I was laughing uncontrollably. You know, the next morning when I walked into the morning service, because in those days we did morning and night meetings, I walked into the morning service at 10 o'clock. Let me tell you what, in the worship, the glory of God was all over me. I mean, I felt the glory. I felt like I was standing in the pocket of the glory of God, and everything around about me was alive. The very atmosphere around me was alive. I didn't even want to eat lunch that day. I went to the restaurant with my brother and the pastor and the music minister, and I sat there, and they ordered food for me, and I just sat there. Are you going to eat? No, yeah, no. 3 days, I was like that for 3 days. I couldn't care about anything else. I was just so caught up in the glory, I didn't really want anything else. Are you listening to me? I didn't want food. When eventually they made me eat, I put a piece of fish on the fork, and I take it and stick it into my cheek. I couldn't even get my mouth. Well, you listen to me. He'd get me up that night to share my testimony with people, and I tried my best. I tried my best. I said, you know, I know what God did. I know up here, I know exactly what God did, but I couldn't connect my mind with my mouth. It just wouldn't connect. I want to say 9:15 in the evening, we worship in the Lord, and then he come up and pray for me. I mean, I know what to say, but I could only get out the words, we were. And I'm like, what was that? Let me try that again. We were. And I'm totally puzzled at that point. And let me tell you what, my brother, he leaned over to me, and he said, tell the people what God's done for you. Try and tell them. And I leaned right over to him and said, I am trying. This is me trying. I am not here to stand up in front of people and stumble around with my words. We were. That's all I could get out of my mouth. And then I'm on the floor. And then my brother's, well, I'm sure he'll cheer again, you know, this week coming. We'll get him up to cheer his testimony. And 2 nights later, he gets me, come tell the people what God's done for you. We were. That's it. I remember in a very large Pentecostal church in Colorado, he gets me up right in the middle of his message. He says, Basil, come up here quickly. Tell the people what God's done for you. And I'm thinking, bro, you tell him what God's done for me. You know what I'm going to do. And I get up there. It's the first Sunday morning in this big, large church. I'm thinking, this is not going to go well. These people are going to think I'm crazy. So I got up there and I went, we were. And they looked at me like, he's crazy. And they looked at me with compassion. They felt sorry for me. And then they look at my brother thinking, what are you doing to your brother? That's a terrible thing. You bring your brother up. He can't even speak properly. You just want to break out with a joy and have them laughing at him. He can't even speak properly. He doesn't even know what he's doing. Listen to him. What is that? And I just stand and look at them and think, I'll give you 3 days. I'll be sitting on the front row. You'll be up going, and I'll be sitting on the front row going, I know exactly how you feel. I know what's going on. I mean, the last thing you want to do is show up in a totally strange church, especially a Pentecostal church, on a Sunday morning, stand up in front of, a few thousand people and go, Everybody looking for this great testimony to come out, and that's all I have to say. And it's like every time I try to share my testimony in his meeting, I'd step back over into that realm, and then I'd just get lost and drunk, fall on the floor, drunk in the Holy Ghost, out of it. And I used to sit back in meetings and watching people do the same thing and think to myself, come on, man, please. Give me a break. Talk. I laugh at people when I get them up here to come share, and they get up here and they get drunk and fall out. I'm like, all right, hey, I'm the one up here all the time. I'm trying to function through the unction. Surely you can try to do the same. Hello. It's one thing to sit out there in the congregation and get drunk in your seat. It's another thing just to get up behind, be drunk, and then try to function. Hello. Listen, I've had such encounters with God. I remember one night, I'm just catching. This is back in 93. I'm catching for my brother, just ushering. That's what I did in those days. I'd usher and line up people and catch people, do whatever. Chase crazy people around the buildings. Amen. But I remember him standing and praying for somebody. And let me tell you, the fire hit this guy and jumped right through him and hit me. Knocked me on the floor. I got up off the floor and I went and sat back down in the pew. And I wouldn't serve the rest of the night. I said, God, that is crazy stuff. I said, you knocked me on the floor by the fire of God. You knocked me on the floor. I'm trying to serve the man of God. You knocked me on the floor and you nearly killed me. And I said, I'm not about to die in this meeting. I said, I've got a few more months to go, and then I'm out of here, and I'm going to travel the nation and carry revival. And I said, I'm not here to die. That's what I told God. I said, I'm not going to go and catch you. I sat there. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't usher. I would sat there. Other guys can go do that. I ain't going to do it. Because I was afraid if God did that one more time, I'd be dead. I'd go to see him. Why would I want to do that right now? I mean, at least I want a shot at the ministry. Hello? See, and that's what people don't understand. Wow, we don't want to usher. We want to get in line for prayer. What people don't understand is the ushers are right there under the spout, and they can get a whole lot more as they go down the line. I'm telling you right now. The ushers that are catching, you know what I'm talking about, because you're right there where the anointing is being pulled out, and you can just grab a hold of some of this stuff as it goes. And if anybody doesn't want it, you take it. Amen. I've watched ushers steal people's anointing. I'm praying for people looking the ushers drunk. I'm like, hey, the usher's getting your drink. You better get it quickly, because the usher behind you, he's drinking your drink right now. All it takes is a hunger, a desperation. God, come and move by your spirit. God, come and change me. The last thing we want to do is, God, come and change my wife. Or God, come and change my husband. God, that family, you know that family needed. No, God, come and change me. Let me tell you what, when God changes you, he'll change your wife. Because your wife will see the change in you and she wants some too. And vice versa. Hello? Are you listening to me? It's all about that encounter with God Almighty. Once you have that encounter, everything about you changes. Hello? And I can tell you right now, and I'm going to begin to close with this and then pray for people. God's not a respecter of persons. God's not about color. He's not about race. He's not about denomination. Hello. He's not about what degree you carry. He's not about any of that stuff. He's about you. Because the only thing that you need is an encounter with God Almighty and a transformation on the inside of you. Hello. Become that vessel that God can pour his anointing into so that anointing can flow through you wherever you go. You know, 24 years later, and we still haven't had enough. People say, don't you get tired of the joy? Let me think about that. No. Don't you get tired of the anointing? No, absolutely not. I'll tell you what I do get tired of is religion. And we have that every now and again. Some places we've gone to, my Jesus, I'm looking for the exit door. Hello? I'm looking for the exit door. We were in a church right here in Texas just a few months back on a Sunday morning. Now, I can tell you right now, I think there were people there that wanted to lynch me. We've been there before, had revival in the 90s, and then we've been back again last year, and then we went back just for a weekend, and you know, a preacher asked me, will you do an offering for this church on Sunday morning? I'm like, yes. Will you receive tithes and offerings for the church? Yes, I will do that, sir, yes. And then I went to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Called everybody a thief. That went over well. I was just telling them what the Bible said. Hey, you can get up and talk about Malachi chapter 3. It won't offend me. I don't get offended by that. You'll get, those who do not tithe, you're a thief. Yeah, I agree. That's right. Uh-huh. Because I tithe. It doesn't bother me. You were in that meeting with me. I mean, you could cut the tension with a knife. Hello? And I think that was the last religious meeting I've had all year. Because I've been at Calvary ever since. Amen? And once you go to Calvary, I mean, everything changes. You know, people have to understand, when we have a meeting, we're not playing a game. It's serious business, because it's life-changing. It's what it is. It's life-changing. That's why when I get up and minister, I want to minister the Word. I don't want to, you know, water the Word down in any way. I want to minister the Word, because the Word will change people's life. I don't want to water down the anointing, because I want you to have an encounter with God Almighty. I don't want to say things that are going to tickle the ears of people and just please people just for the sake of pleasing them. I want to tell them what the gospel says. And let me tell you what, Jesus didn't please everybody. Amen. There were many people that were upset with Jesus. They tried to kill him before his time. He'd go into the synagogue and he'd make a whole bunch of people mad. Hello? We're not here to please people. We're here to please the Holy Spirit. Come on now. You can go. There's some churches in town you can go to. I won't mention names, but you can go to them. They're large, big satellite churches, and you can go there and everybody gets pleased. Because the Word is not preached. The anointing of God's not released. You're only in there for an hour, hour and a half at the most. I mean, it's just like a happy, slappy, bless me club. Hello? Then everybody comes out there pleased. They're still in sin, but they're pleased. They're pleased with their sin. But you can't go to a Holy Ghost church and think you're going to come out the other side the same. Hello? You can't go down to the River Jordan and get baptized and think you're going to come out the same, especially if you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's what we need. We need God to come. We need God to come shake the church. Church has become too sleepy. Church has become too complacent. Hello. We need God to come and shake the church. Do something from the inside else out. Shake the very foundation. I mean, there's some men of God in the nation, and I'm not going to mention names, and I need to quit what I'm doing right now. But let me say this. There's some men of God in the nation, and I say men of God with a tongue in cheek. But let me tell you what. They've made some statements on television that have shocked me. And I can tell you right now, if they were my pastor, I'd be gone. I don't care how great of a church or ministry he has, I'd be gone. Because what they've said over the TV, it doesn't even relate to the gospel. Hello? I'd be gone. Amen. So you can see God needs to come and clean house. So where can he begin? Where can he start? Whose house could he clean tonight? There's about three of you raised your hand, and the rest of you looking at me like, tonight? At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus anyway. It's all about the Holy Spirit anyway. It's all about God and whatever he wants to do. And he's going to have final say, so we might as well get with his program. Amen. So why are you picking on him? Because I can. He just happened to be sitting on the front row. That's right. I'm not going to pick on him too long because I need him. I'm going to pick on him just enough to get him drunk. And then he can work with the rest of the guys drunk. Amen. Are you a little woozy?
Yeah.
He's a little woozy. Slow down, brother. I need you too. Slow down. Just now we'll have all the ushers drunk and everybody will be standing around like, who's going to catch me? Suppose I'll have to catch you and pray for you as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place.
Yes, you are.
And Lord, when I say in this place, I mean on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, you're welcome on the inside of us to come and do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. I pray, Lord God, tonight you give people new wineskins. I pray, Lord God, people have an encounter with God Almighty, that their life will never be the same again. Bring about a transformation, Lord Jesus. Get your vessels ready and prepared for what you have planned down here on this earth, Lord. We see the Metroplex ablaze with the fires of revival. We see the Metroplex shaken by the power of Almighty God. And Father, we know that this is going to come through many of us that are even sitting in this place tonight. Many others, Jesus. Many others that are still to come. Oh, Shakamora de Serida Babasha Konanenge. Mahambrosity abrenes de Kinamanda. Oh, Shikina Membra das to Kulamande le best entire. We humble ourselves before your mighty hand. We lift you up. We exalt you. We praise you. We worship you. For you alone are worthy, Lord Jesus. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. Lord, I thank you that you are raising up a mighty army out of this church called Calvary Cathedral, a mighty army that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are on fire for you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for other churches that are represented in this place. That, Lord God, you're raising up people within those churches that will carry the fires of revival. Lord, we thank you that we see other churches shaken by the power of Almighty God. We pray, Lord God, that other pastors from other churches would begin to come hungry and thirsty for more of you, Jesus. That they would allow the Spirit of God to move in their church, in their congregation. Hallelujah, my Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's a plan. There's a plan and a purpose that God has for many that are in this place. That if you would just press in to whatever He wants and allow His Spirit to change you on the inside, the transformation would be so great that many would become unrecognizable. And the natural people would look and say, my, you've changed. Something's happened on the inside of you. Looks like you've been with Jesus. Something's going on. Oh, there's a great transformation coming. There's a great encounter coming with God Almighty. As we press into His presence, He has so much more. We haven't even begun to see everything that He has for us. We haven't even begun to see. It's just been like a little glimpse of His glory, but it's been nothing for what He has in store for us in these days that lie ahead. It's all about surrender. It's all about humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God. It's all about exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's all about surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. I give it all up. I lay it all on the altar. I ask you to send your fire. Let your fire come and burn out the dross. Let your fire come and burn out. God, what is not of you that's in the inside of my heart? If you didn't put it there, Lord God, take it away. Set me completely free. Change me on the inside. Prepare my heart for what you have in store. For this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's about to come. Prepare my heart and get me ready, Lord. Because I surrender. I am the clay. You are the potter. You shape me and you mold me. And you make me into the vessel that you want me to be. Oh, Rabakase Breshika Mambro Sotoromande Kirababrasa Keremenda Labasobro Shotananamande. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.